Amen. Just as Greg said there, I don't sup back there this morning. We're going to have an altar call here after a while, but don't sup back there and think to yourself, what can I do to be good enough? You'll never be good enough for that. I'm going to tell you, there isn't a soul in here that's good enough. They're not. It depends on the blood of Jesus Christ being applied to your life. And if you sup back here and you try to figure out what can I do to be a better person, to be a Christian, to be this and that, don't do that. Don't do that. If God is dealing with you, you come to this altar, and I'm telling you, if He is dealing with you, if Spirit is drawing you, He can save you to the uttermost. He can do that this morning. Praise His name today. I'm going to be over in John 3rd chapter. I'm going to read one verse, the sixth verse when I get there. There's a saying out there, let your conscience be your guide. The title of my sermon this morning is, don't let your conscience be your guide. Don't. Because I'm here to tell you this morning, if you let your conscience be your guide every time, everybody's born with a conscience. Everybody is. Depending on how your conscience was affected when you were young, do not let your conscience always be your guide. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture this morning, then I'm going to get into my sermon here this morning. John 3:6. If you would, if you're there, please stand. Let's read God's Word together this morning. That which is born of this flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. It is Spirit. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I'm going to come with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord. I praise You for Your mercy and for Your grace and for Your love upon my life, Lord. I ask You, Father, to be with each and every individual in here this morning. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that Your Spirit would just go out amongst them, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that You know that You would open up their minds, their hearts, Lord, and let them realize that, Father, that, Lord, you know what? The Spirit needs to be their guide. And, Father, we will praise You for that. And we'll give you the glory for that. For, Father, we thank You. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. And amen. And amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you this morning. Praise God. I'll say this. We know the Holy Trinity, right? The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Do you know that your body has a Trinity in it as well? Do you realize that this morning? You are consisted of body, soul, and spirit. That's everybody that's in here this morning. The Bible speaks of this over in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, whenever it says this, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's where it mentions it there, but also in Hebrews it goes into it like this. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow. What are the joints and the marrow? That is your body. And it goes on and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I'm telling you this morning, you are divided up into three different things in every one of us. That is our body, our soul, and our spirit. The body, and I'm going to get into some of this before I get into the meat of the sermon, the body is your earth suit. That's what every one of us has. Whenever we're born with, that is your connection to this world. That is your body. In the scripture there, the Greek word means soma. It means the word is which we get the term somatic cells out of. What it means is that our body is what you see in front of us right here, right now, each and every individual. It's the vehicle in which every one of us experiences each other's and experiences life experiences down here. That is our body. The body is that part of a man that communicates with his environment. It's that part of the body through the faculties of our sight, our hearing, our touch, our smell. Listen, that's what the body is about. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what know ye not? That your body, remember I just preached about it here a week or so ago, this is the temple of the Holy Ghost. This is where that able to dwell, and which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not of your own. Understand that. And one day, upon death, I want everybody in here to understand that, whether you're saved or unsaved, you will get a new body one day. You know that. Whether you're saved or unsaved. Philippians 3:20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change these vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. I thank God as a Christian, one day I'm going out of this world and I'm getting a new body. How about you? I'm getting a spiritual body. I pray you understand that this morning. What about the lost? Luke, over in Luke in 16, 22 and 23, when it was talking about the rich man and Lazarus, it says, and the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell lifted up his eyes. You got a body, you're going to have eyes, right? It talks about him thirsting. I'm telling you, they will have an eternal body as well if you die and go out of the world. But yours won't be like mine if you're lost. It'll be different, but you will have an eternal body one day if you die. And it said, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. The Greek word used here for soul, I'm done with the body, now we're going on to the soul. It's called psyche, which is the mind. The soul was this. Understand it. The soul is where the realm of decisions is made. That's where it is. If in your soul lives your mind, your will, your emotions, and your free will lives in that as well. The soul is a neutral ground between the body and the spiritual realm. That's where it is, what the soul is. In between the earth suit, which is the body, and the spirit, the soul is eternal. Everyone has a soul. Everyone in here has a soul. Redeemed or unredeemed, you have a soul. You understand that here this morning. The saved have a soul and the wicked have a soul. In Job 12, 2 and 9, it says this, who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord has wrought this, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breadth of all mankind. You have a soul. Everybody, lost and undone, you have a soul this morning. The soul is where your free will is exercised. I want to make this important. You understand this morning. No other creature on earth has free will. Only human beings has that. That's it. That's because of your soul. Every human being has that. And also, every soul belongs to God. Ezekiel 18:4. Behold, all the souls are mine. That's what God said. This was, as the soul of the Father, also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, and what shall it happen? It shall die. It shall die. But every soul belongs to God, and he'll take care of it in the end. It is to go between the body, and that's what I'll talk about next. The third part of it is the third part of it is the spirit. The Greek word used here is pneumonia, which means something within the body. The Greek word that every human being has a spiritual part about them. Every human being does that. And the only part of us that allows us to be able to connect to God is the spiritual part of it. Sometimes we call it the conscience, but they're pretty much one here, but they're kind of like to mix them in together. But I'm telling you, there's a difference between the Holy Spirit and the Spirit and also the Spirit of man. It's the only part. That part, it's the part of us that knows our innermost secrets and our innermost thoughts. That's the one to communicate with God to it. Because of the fall in the Garden of Eden, you are born spiritually dead. Everybody here this morning, when you were born spiritually dead because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. You may think that's bad, you may think that's not fair, but that's the way that it happened because of the fall of men in the garden. Everybody here was born spiritually dead. There's only one way to take care of that, and that is through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Because of the fall. In Ephesians 2, 1 and 5, and you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world. Everybody in here, when you were born spiritually dead, if you're not saved, you're walking according to the course of this world. That's how you're walking. And it says here, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, now listen to this, if I get it here, the spirit now worketh in the children of disobedience among whom also we had in our conversation in times past the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Right? That's how this changed. So upon birth, we are led by our own spirit. You understand that, right? We're led by our own spirit. And that only changes if we are saved. It's the only way it changes. Now, like I told you, there are times in our life we could be raised in a good Christian home. And our conscience could be affected by how we're raised. That still doesn't mean the Holy Spirit's living in us. Do I get that? I hope you understand that point, because I'm going to get into more of that deeper here in just a little bit. You could be raised in a Christian home, but yet the Holy Spirit may not be living in you, but your conscience is telling you, well, that's not right. This isn't right. That's not right. Brothers and sisters, there is a difference between your conscience and the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit came on the scene, Romans 8:16 says this: the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. With our spirit, there's a big S there for spirit, and there's a little S there for spirit. That little S is where we are when all of us are born into this world. We have that little S inside of us, that little spirit. And that little spirit, in Romans 8, first, is sometimes called our conscience. It's intertwined sometimes. Sometimes we don't get that, but that's what it is. And why my sermon is titled "Don't Let Your Conscience Be Your Guide" this morning is because that why it's so dangerous to let your conscience be your guide. Because every one of us is born with a conscience/spirit, and that little spirit has the capacity of leading us down the wrong path. A few years ago, and me and Tink was talking about this a little bit ago. A few years ago, I tell you this story quite often because why I say this is, we went to church with a lady who ended up going through a divorce, and she had a child and ended up going through a divorce, and ended up she had went to church since she was carried there as a baby. Went to church. She was carried there. Her husband had went to church. He left her, divorced her, and she got saved. How I know that? Because she told me. She got baptized with a bunch of kids at the church. She got this, she got that. But she told us one time, she said, I was never saved until after that divorce. And then she got saved and she felt the Holy Spirit of God in her life. Had felt it in her life. She had no idea up until that point. And brothers and sisters, to this day, if you're ever in church with her, she can praise God with the best of them. She can praise God with the best of them. I'm telling you, there are times, and I want the young people in here to understand this. You do not come to this altar unless the Spirit of God is drawing you to this altar and get saved. You do not get baptized unless you are saved by the Spirit of God in your life. Because if you do, it's just your conscience drawing, and you could live the rest of your life, and you could have a conscience that tells you that's wrong, and this is wrong, and you can still be lost and split hell wide open. Because, brothers and sisters, my Bible tells me, without the Spirit of God, you are none of His. You're none of His. And I don't care. I mean, you could get baptized with 20 kids in this church. You could come to this altar and you could think that you're saved. But I'm telling you here this morning, listen to me, without the Spirit drawing you, without the Spirit of God coming into your life, it's not going to happen. You say, how you know? Preacher, that's pretty hard. I'm telling you what the Scripture says, not what Dave Long says. I'm giving it out to you what it says right here. That just going on by what your conscience is telling you will always be influenced by what's taken on in your past. It always will be. Just like the story I told you of the friend of mine in high school and of the lady I just told you right here. Their consciences were influenced by two different things. One of them wasn't very good. The other one was in church all the time, and they were influenced by that as well. But brother, they still was headed into the same place without the Spirit of God in their life. They were still headed to the same place. And that was the devil's hell. Why do I tell you that here this morning? Because, brother, I don't want to see no one die and go out of this world and think that they are right when they are not right. My Bible tells me there's going to be many that stand before him one of these days and say, did we not do this in your name? Did we not do that in your name? And he's going to say, depart from me. What? I never knew you. Well, I went to church all the time. I did this. I was on the board. I even preached. I did this. I did that. Depart from me. I never knew you. Because without the Spirit of God in your life, he does not know you. He does not know you. Don't go by what your conscience is telling you all the time. I mean, praise God for a conscience. Praise God for that. It may keep you out of trouble, but it ain't going to keep you out of hell unless you're saved. Just going by what your conscience is telling you. The conscience is corrupt by sin's nature by itself. It is. The fall of the garden. And by those who has influenced you. It can be a thing right there where it's corrupt just by that itself. And I'm telling you, brothers, it's influenced while you're growing up. Listen, there's so many influences on us as kids, is there not? There's so much. We have our parents, we have our friends, we have our teachers, we have relatives. I can go right on down the line. There's so many things that can influence our consciences in our life. That can be fine if you're raised in a Christian home. But what if he was like me? What if it's not? All the influences that I had on my life, I'm telling you, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ coming into my life, I'm telling you, I don't know where I would be here. I definitely probably wouldn't be standing in front of you preaching this morning because the influences that were on me were not that good at times. I've talked to you about a few of the good ones. I've had aunts and I've had uncles come to me and tell me I needed to be in church, I needed to be saved. But praise God, Jesus Christ come into my heart. It says here in 2 Corinthians 1 and 12, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our consciences, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom. See, sometimes we take these conscious part of it as this fleshly wisdom, and we try to incorporate it into godly things. I'm telling you, it will not work. But by the grace of God, we have had our conversations in the world and were abundantly to you word. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you right now, I've had down through the years, I've had a lot of different influences. After I got saved, my influences all changed. My desires changed. Can I give you something, a little test for yourself this morning? If you're telling me that you're born again and you're saved, did your desires change? Did the desires of your hearts really change? Or are you still longing for the world? I'm asking you. You're the only one that can answer that question this morning. Because if you're still longing for the world, I got doubts in my mind that your desires changed. Can I have an amen? I got doubts in my mind that your desires have changed. Because, brothers and sisters, listen, I believe that whenever we get saved, our desires will change. The things that we long for will change. Brothers and sisters, listen, I'm going to tell you, I see a lot of testimonies in this church all the time, week after week after week. I know where their desires lie. I know where they lie. And you say, well, because my spirit bears witness with their spirit. My spirit bears witness with them. I know what they long for. They're not longing to have something better and better in this world and see all the world and do all the world stuff. You know what their desire is? Their desire is to see Jesus one of these days. That's their desire. And I'm telling you, you can go and your conscience can let you. You know, the Bible tells me your conscience can be seared. Get to that here in a little bit. That's why it's important to have the Holy Spirit influence upon your life. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, I say this a lot, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show the things to come. Can I tell you something? If the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, you're going to speak the things of God. Can I have an amen? You're not going to be trying to speak the things of this world. You ain't going to have world language upon you all the time. You know what? We live in this world? Absolutely. We go through this world? Absolutely. But where is the desire? Where's the things that speak of God? Or do you gossip? Do you do all the things of the world? Is that the thing that you long to do? Boy, you can't wait to get something juicy to talk about somebody? Huh? Is that your desire? I'm telling you here this morning, if that's your desire, can I tell you, I don't know if you're saved this morning or not, if that's the case. You say, well, you're judging me. No, I'm not. The Bible's judging you. The Bible's judging you, not me. You read the same Bible as I read, I hope. And it tells you about this stuff. Who is guiding you this morning? Psalms 32, 8, 9. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the ways which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine own eyes. That's God speaking. Do you have the eyes of God upon you? Do you have the eyes of God, the Spirit of God? I'm not talking about your conscience, because your conscience will let you down, man. It'll let you down. I'm talking about, is the Holy Spirit influencing that conscience? Is the Holy Spirit influencing that spirit? Is it? Because if it's not, you're going to be led astray. You're going to be led astray a number of times if you're not careful. You cannot depend solely on your conscience. Is it telling you, if you do not have the Holy Spirit as your guide? Titus 1:15, unto the pure all things are pure. Now listen to this. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their minds and consciences is defiled. Even their minds and their consciences is defiled. Now you tell me, can you depend on a conscience like that? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Young and old folks alike this morning, a conscience without the guidance of the Holy Spirit is a worldly conscience. I'm not telling you it's going to make you do bad things, because your conscience sometimes will not let you do bad things even if you're not saved. But I'm just telling you, it's not going to be 100% all the time, because you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. You know, about being, you know what, you can be, again, when a person gets saved, and I'm going to say this again because I'm going to have an altar call here in a little bit, and I want you to understand this. I don't care if you're young, I don't care who you are here this morning. If the Holy Spirit starts dealing with you here in a little bit, can I tell you something? You don't need to walk to this altar, you need to run to this altar if it's dealing with you. I tell the story quite a bit about my testimony when I got saved. And I think it's relevant. Everybody in here has a testimony about when they got saved, right? I think everybody here should have, because that should be the most important day in your life as far as this old boy is concerned. But when I got saved, I was at that church up in Mannington, West Virginia. Outside that church, it was after the church service was over with, and this boy, I was a sophomore and he was a senior in high school, he came to me and he said, Do you want to be saved? Do you want to know what it is to experience Jesus Christ in your life? And I was ready, because the Spirit was dealing with me. I got on my knees right then. Outside, there was a breezeway outside that church. I wasn't inside. I got on my knees right then in front of everybody out there and got saved. Gloriously saved. The Holy Spirit come rushing into my life. I know I was saved. There was no doubt. Helen, I didn't have to get up out there and shake hands with the preacher and ask him if I was all right. I didn't have to go to mom and dad and ask them if I was all right, because this whole boy was all right. The burdens of this world lifted. And don't let the devil tell you that's nonsense. Don't let the devil tell you, oh, that's just plain emotion. It wasn't emotion. It wasn't nothing but the Holy Spirit coming into my life. And he said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw me. And then he goes on to explain it down in verses 63 and 65 of John 6. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who that they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. No man. That still holds true today, by the way. Can I tell you that? No man or woman can come to this altar and break through to Jesus Christ unless you are drawn of by the Father. Period. Come to the altar if the Spirit is drawing you, and you will walk away satisfied. The Bible tells me that. But if you come to this altar just because mom or dad or a friend or even a pastor is pressuring you, can I tell you something? There's a very good chance you're going to walk away and walk back to your seat the same way you come up here. And I'm going to tell you this too. I know I've said it once here a little bit ago. But if you're not saved and you get baptized, the only thing is you're going down a wet center and you're coming back up a wet center. Amen? If you're not saved and you get baptized, that's all it is. That's all it is. You're just taking a bath free. Brothers and sisters, can I tell you this? You're going to go back. If you're not born again, you're going to go back to your seats. You're going to go back to your houses, empty, unfulfilled, and you're still depending on your own conscience to be your God. And I'm telling you, if you're going to depend on your conscience to be your God, you're going to end up in a devil's hell one day. The fact the Bible tells us, Romans 8:9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Did you get that? If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That should be scary. You're not going to heaven if you're going on your conscience alone. To me, there are some sitting in churches across this land today. This is sad, and I've already said it, but there are some sitting across churches in this land today. Bev, they probably went to church all their life. They probably have went to church all your life. You find this hard to believe. I don't. Probably went to church all their life. Maybe even with Carrie Dare as a child. Maybe. And have no idea what the Holy Spirit is. Have no idea. They go to church. Their conscience has said, well, you know, thou shalt not. Brother, sister, if the Ten Commandments could have saved you, Jesus Christ wouldn't have had to die on the cross. Ten Commandments are there to show us we need Christ. Is that right? They don't save you. If you're here this morning thinking, well, I've been a good person, Greg. I've never done this. I've never done that. I've never done this. I've never done that. You can go right on down the line if you want to. Have you been saved? Is the Spirit of God? Spirit of God upon you. Is the Spirit of God living within you? Because if it's not living within you, I don't care if you follow the Ten Commandments to a T. You're not going to heaven one day. I hope you understand this morning. Your conscience can be your guide all you want. But if the Holy Spirit isn't in there leading that conscience, it's not doing no good. You're not going to heaven. To me, there's those studying in churches across this land like that. And that is sad. It's sad. I don't know. There may be even some studying in here this morning that same way. I'm not your judge. I'm just giving you what the Word of God says. There's, the Bible tells us, there are some that are carnal Christians. And they're both, and listen to what the Bible, both of these types in their fleshly nature, aka in their conscience, listen, Romans 8:5-6. For they are after the flesh, do mind the things of the flesh. And they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? It is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Is life, and it is peace. Do you have peace in your life this morning? Do you have peace in your life this morning? I'm talking about true peace. I'm not talking about a peace that says, well, you know what, if something goes right today, then I've got peace in my life. No. That's not what the true peace of God is about. The true peace of God is this. when everything's going wrong around you and it seems like the world is falling in around you, my Bible tells me you can still have peace.
Yes, amen.
Peace. That's ridiculous. That's not what, yeah, that's right. That's what the conscience won't tell you that. The worldly spirit won't tell you that. It's the Word of God that tells you that.
Amen.
You cannot wholly depend on your conscience. Too many times folks will allow their consciences to be their guide, totally ignoring what the Bible says, totally ignoring that they should be doing, whether it's right or wrong. They totally ignore that sometimes. But yet they'll tell you that they're right. They're letting their conscience be their guide. Their conscience has been seared. I'll tell you something metaphorically. When an individual does that, they're not eating of the good word that God has given them. They're filling themselves with the junk. Proverbs 1, 29 through 31 says this. Read this when you get a chance. For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despise my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own ways and be filled with their own devices. You mind your own conscience, you're going to be eating the fruit of your own ways. That's what you're going to be eating of. You're going to end up with your own devices trying to make a way in this world. I thank God that one day He saved me. Yeah, have I always been right? Have I always been right on point? Have I always been right on target? Absolutely not. And I would venture to say, if I asked you, every one of you, to raise your hands and tell me the same thing, right? We all have it. But brothers and sisters, those of us that are Christians, we know this. We're not going to depend on just on our consciences. The Holy Spirit is going to guide and direct. And now if you do that, I'm telling you, if you do that and mind Him, you're not going to fall. You see, your consciences are only tied to what you and I have to have it tied to. If you just think something is wrong, you'll always justify it. If you think something isn't wrong, you're going to always justify it. Am I right? That whether it be your pet little sin or not, you're going to justify it. And brother said, I know, I've seen a lot of justification down through the years. Matter of fact, you're looking at a guy right here that probably tried to justify stuff in himself at one time or two. How about you? But I'm telling you, it's not what the Word of God said. For I know that in me, that is my flesh, this is Paul speaking, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. That's Paul speaking, brothers, by the way. But the evil which I would not, guess what? That I do. Now, if I do that which I would not, is it no more I that do it, but sin that what? The sin nature that what? Dwelleth in every one of us. I thank God I got the Holy Spirit to help me with that sometimes. Because if I didn't, my conscience would be my guide. And that sin nature that is in every one of us would take hold all the time. Thank God for that this morning. I hope everybody understands this morning. I hope you do. I'm not trying to. And he goes on to say in verse 24, O wretched man that I am. I am who shall deliver me from the body of this death. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. If you are followers of your conscience, understand this, you're headed toward a washed out bridge, full speed ahead. But there's a way to make sure that the Holy Spirit is being your guide. There is. It always goes along with the Scripture. Listen, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. For the prophecy came not in old times. This is over in Peter. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but by holy men of God spake as they were moved by what? By the Holy Ghost. That's why I believe the Scripture is the inerrant Word of God. And brothers and sisters, whenever you get your nose dug into it, and you let the Holy Spirit be your guide and not your conscience, you'll know what's right and wrong. You won't have to worry about somebody preaching or teaching it to you, because the Holy Spirit will pound it in you. It will always bear witness with our soul, whether it's right or wrong. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit will always convict you. Christian, if you do something wrong, my Bible tells me, He will offer a way of escape. You have got to take it, though. Amen. And that is through the Holy Spirit. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Can I tell you this morning? Don't let your conscience always be your guide. You understand that? Because your conscience will fail you. It will. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost, you keep your hand in His, He'll never fail you. Praise the Lord this morning. Julie, you got a song we can do as an overhead. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is God dealing with you this morning? Is He dealing with you this morning? Come to this altar and do not let your conscience tell you, you know what will they think? I don't care what anybody else in this building thinks. You come here to what God is wanting you to do. If the Spirit's dealing with you, you come up here. Don't worry about what if somebody's going to look at you in judgmental fashion. If they're doing that, let God deal with them. Thank God this morning. All right, we get a song. If you have a need, please come.